Today on Real Radio.
You can't know the world is messed up, and you can't know what evil is unless you know what good is, unless you know what right is. You can't know bad unless you know what good is. How do you judge bad? By what's good?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Revelation of God. It's an exploration of Bible passages that speak of the attributes of our Creator. Now, certainly, there will always be those characteristics of God that will take, well, forever to comprehend. But there are some attributes that His written Word reveals. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Revelation of God.
A friend of mine up in Seattle says, "May the luck of the Lord be with you." You laugh because there is no such thing as the luck of the Lord, and there ain't no way you're going to make it. Jesus died for sinners. And when He tells me that He will redeem me, then I want to get in line. Then here I am. I'm a sinner, Lord. I need salvation. And I thank You that You redeem. And You'll redeem me. The question is, are you willing to be redeemed? And then I want to give you this final verse before we press on. I'm reading it right now to the New Living Translation because it's so crystal clear. It's very powerful. Listen carefully. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Gift. Hello? Gift. Not payment. Not a paycheck. Not wages. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. God saves and redeems. It's His idea. His Son did it for us at the cross. You're saved by the grace of God, and it's a gift that He gives to you. Why? Because we can't do it on our own. What's the result? Thank you, God. Should that change your life? Oh, it will change your life. Should we do good things? Yes, only after He has done that good thing. Good things that we do cannot save us. We're saved by that good thing Jesus did. But He so changes our lives that we want to walk like Him in this world. Our next argument is this, church. Mark it down. You need to know regarding the revelation of God that the God of the Bible is the God incarnate. I'll try to control myself. I almost blew myself up at first service getting excited about this one. Nobody on the planet has the ability but you to announce that your God is the God who came to us incarnate. What does incarnate mean? That the God of the Bible became flesh. There's other messages out there that if you really work hard and be a really good boy and girl, then you can be from a human, you can become a God. Again, good luck with that. But there is no message out there that says the Creator God of the universe, the Holy, Pure Spirit, God Almighty, Eternal One, clothed Himself in human skin to save mankind. God incarnate. Christianity stands alone because our God put on human skin. It was, you know, it's called Christmas. You know that? If you don't celebrate God incarnate on Christmas, then you're not celebrating Christmas. Christ Mass is mass gathering around the Messiah. And the Bible says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the baby born in Bethlehem is eternal. There's a lot of cute babies running around the world today, but none of them are eternal. And none of them had a book written about them as to what they would say and what they would do and who they were, but this, the Bible, all about Jesus, that He would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5, 2, and 522 years later, guess what? He was born in Bethlehem. God incarnate. The Bible tells us that He would do miracles and that He would reveal the kingdom of God to man. That's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible said that He would come from a virgin born into this world, and that's exactly what happened. He's the incarnate God. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, listen, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And then John 1:14, just a few verses down, says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Can you imagine John? Listen, John is telling you, we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten, the preeminent one of the Father, full of grace and truth. These were eyewitness accounts, ladies and gentlemen. John, excuse me, can I interview you? John, you talked to Jesus? Yeah, I did. What was he like? He was full of grace and truth. Is that how you know him today? Is this the God of the Bible that you know? If you don't know him like this, change now. Know him now. Full of grace and truth. Oh, I've had a bad week, Pastor. I've blown it so bad. I've been a real nincompoop. I really colored outside the lines this week. Repent, come back. Change your mind. Get to him. He came. God in human flesh for us. Listen, Paul, in writing to Timothy, is describing the ministry and the nature of Jesus. And I'll paraphrase it there. He announces to Timothy when he writes, he says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Everybody listening? The Bible says God was manifested in the flesh. It says there that he was preached about in the world, that he did his miracles, but the most important part that I want you to focus on, it says that he was seen by angels and received back up into heaven. Seen by angels. It's a strange statement there in Timothy, that God was revealed to mankind and he was seen by angels. Whenever you have angels in the presence of God in the Old Testament, they arrive, for example, Isaiah chapter 6, they arrive in the presence of God with their faces covered. Isn't that interesting? They have multiple wings, the seraphim and the cherubim. But whenever they come into the presence of God, the Bible says that the angels cover their faces in his presence. But Timothy tells us that Jesus was seen by angels. The word in Greek is where we get the English word to gawk upon, to gawk or to gaze. Angels looked at the birthing of God in human skin, coming, with all reverence I say this, God being born in human flesh from Mary. And as they watched the delivery of the Son of God, that verse suggests that for the first time, angels saw their Creator face to face in the form of a human. And they gawked. Is that the Jesus you know? Is that the God of the Bible you know? The God who becomes incarnate for your salvation? A couple more verses before we leave this one. I love this. Listen, mark it. Colossians 2:9. This is power. Colossians 2:9. For in him, speaking of Jesus in that chapter, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. God revealed in human flesh. You know, I wonder what God would do about this particular issue. Look to Jesus. A woman was caught in the act of adultery, dragged to Jesus' feet and thrown down. What would God do? What would God the Holy Spirit do? What would God the Father do? Look to Jesus. Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, I don't have any. And he said, I don't condemn you either. Go now and sin no more. Go live a new life. That's God's answer. Again, the thief on the cross, we looked at him a few weeks ago. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom. What would God do in that moment? Look to Jesus. Today you'll be with me in paradise. But I have cancer, I'm sick, I don't know if I have long to live. Whoa, what's God thinking? God says, nothing shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Look to Jesus. I'm scared. Look to Jesus. I don't know what to do. I need answers. Look to Jesus. He's awesome. You want to know how incarnate he became? This is fun. Because every time there's a knock at my door, you got it. By the way, it doesn't have to be cults. That's so overt. Anybody today masquerading themselves in the name of Christianity, but they're a little bit off in some areas, watch out, it could be a cult. You better know your Bible. You need to be cult sniffers. I smell a cult. How are you going to be able to? You got to train your nose in the Word. There's so much noise out there, you guys. Well, Pastor, I read this on Twitter. Why don't you shoot that bird and read your Bible? Oh, well, I did that. And then I discovered that there's this new doctrine on Facebook. Look, I've done all the research. The only thing I can figure out is see your face, put it in the book. Facebook, right here. Facebook. Well, you know, I read on the internet, it must be true. Watch out! It doesn't have to be somebody peddling up to your door, knocking on your door and pushing stuff. These are dangerous days. You've got to know your Word. But watch this. Is this the Jesus that you know? Revelation 1:17, because I got news for you. Nobody else has this Jesus but the God of the Bible, Jesus in the Bible. Revelation 1:17, John says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, watch, the letters are written in red. Do not be afraid. I am the Alpha and the Omega, or the first and the last, the name of God. Verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Did your God die for you? Answer, yes. Who rose again from the grave in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? Jesus. Well, it gets better. Revelation 2, verse 8. These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. That's the God of the Bible. There's only one first and last. The book of Isaiah says it's Almighty God. Is that your God? And then we look at this. You need to know the revelation of God, that he is knowable. That he's knowable. And again, I say to you, it was God's idea to invite you and I to get to know him. What do you feel like when you get an invitation? I guess it matters from whom, right? You get an invitation from whatever, and it's like, I don't really care. And then the invitation comes, and it's like, I don't care what we're doing. We're going to this one. What would you do if the God of the universe wrote you an invitation and said, I'd like you to come into my kingdom? And with that comes forgiveness of sins, the release of all guilt and shame, direction, meaning, and purpose, value. And after you've done living your life, I will have you personally escorted into the very presence of my throne room, and you will see a smile on my face when you arrive. Please respond by saying yes, you know. And there are people today, maybe you're here right now, and you're saying, oh, that's stupid. Oh, that's dumb. And then some of you here today saying, I think I need that. I'd like to get that invitation. Well, listen, you do have that invitation. God said that whosoever would believe in his son, put their trust in him. Is that you? The God of the Bible says he's knowable. This is wild. He says, I want you to know me. This is a shock. You understand? He's not a really old guy up in heaven with a long white beard with a big, you know, time glass. He is God, the Spirit, perfect, immutable, never changing, eternal. Before there ever was anything, he was. And when everything's over, he still is. He never changes. He's forever. And listen, he loves. And he's imparted love into your life. Listen, you've been created in his image. You have the capacities that he gave you. How many of you like to write poems or you like to write? Raise your hand. You just like to write stuff like that? Don't be shy. I saw a hand. This guy over there. I'm not going to point him out. He just goes. Like he's embarrassed. Listen, that's a real amazing thing. Raise your hand if you like writing music or a poem or something like that, okay? Okay, what about any of you creative? You're just really creative. You create things. You're artsy, craftsy, creative. I see we don't have very many creative, gifted people here. When you look at the human nature, as fallen as it is, there's a lot of good to the human nature. And I want to argue with you this morning, where did that good come from? Absolutely. Listen, well, there's a lot of evil in the world. Well, how do you know? Oh, the world's messed up. Again, how do you know? You can't know the world is messed up, and you can't know what evil is unless you know what good is, unless you know what right is. You can't know bad unless you know what good is. How do you judge bad? By what's good. C.S. Lewis said that's how he knew to come to Christ, because there's so much bad. You can't judge bad unless there's good, or else you'll never know bad. Well, I completely disagree with how the world's being run. That means you assume there's a better way to run it. Where did that judgment come from? You create things out of nothing. People are amazing. I see people do things. They look, people paint. I can't even paint my house. But people paint the picture, like a Thomas Kinkade or a Monet or genius. Where does that come from? You think there's a little thing? If we cut you open right here just below the fifth rib, reach back in there and we pull out this little poem box. Oh, this is the poemetry. If you slice this open, all these little poems fall out. You don't have one of those. That comes from your soul, from your spirit. You're not an animal. You've been created in the image of God. God loves you and he wants you to know him. That's amazing. There's people in life that you know that you don't want to know. It's like, oh no, here they come again. Shut the door. Shut the curtains. Did you know God's not like that? Right now it's the age of grace where the gospel, that's the reason why the church exists, to preach the word of God to the ends of the earth. Why? The invitation's going out. God says, listen, go out. Remember, go out into the highways, into the byways, and invite everyone you can. Yes. Invite them to come. Listen, he didn't say, get on out there and you tell people to clean up their act. No, he said, you have them come. I've done this to you before. I want to do it again in closing. It's so fun. Now, this is the preface, and there's some notes here. Okay, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. You see this? You know where I'm going with this already? This is the creation of the entire physical universe from the beginning. We don't know how long exactly that all was. Angels, Adam and Eve in the garden, and them blowing it right here. That's it. Jupiter, Mars, Milky Way. You with me? And God says, hey, you two little lambs, you two little sheep, come over here. I know this is a bum deal. Can you imagine, by the way, the book of Romans says all nature groans because of man's sins. All nature groans waiting for the redemption of man. Did you know that? Nature. A moose. Think of a moose. Or your dog even. Your dog, your cat. It's like, man, I know you're giving me a good life. If they could talk, I know, Master, you're giving me a good life and all. But I have fleas, I scratch because of you. Your original mom and dad messed up the whole show. Back in the day, cats were nice. Nature groans. I looked this morning, looked out my window, and there was a raccoon bathing in our swimming pool, sitting on the step, literally scrubbing his armpits, for real. And I'm thinking, look how nature has fallen. He's got to bathe in the middle of the night in a borrowed pool. All of that in perfection, right here. Then we sin in Adam and Eve, and the rest of the book is God saying, please, I love you, come back home. Come to know me, return home. You see that? You know him. I end with this, and I'm going to stress it. Listen to this. 1 John 5. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, past tense, eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. Listen to this. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Amen. Oh, man. And then let's stand as I read the last verse. Let's stand as I read the last verse. Philippians 3. You can just watch the screens. Listen, Paul the Apostle, a Hebrew among the Hebrews, a Jew among the Jews, Pharisee among the Pharisees, a lawkeeper par excellence, Paul, master of the law. To this day, still, 2,000 years later, the most famous convert to Christianity the world has ever seen. Paul the Apostle. Degrees longer than his arm. Gamaliel, his instructor, wrote of Paul and said, libraries, I could not keep my libraries stocked enough for his appetite for books. Paul, genius. Then he meets Jesus. He's heading up to Damascus to kill Christians. Nothing's changed. And he encounters Jesus. By the way, there's people encountering Jesus, they say anyway, in the skies. Jesus is appearing, we're hearing, in the Middle East to Muslim warriors, hearing Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know if that's true or not, but we're hearing reports of it. Heather Mercer says she has heard and talked to people. Paul encounters Jesus. And he says, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Listen to this. Not having my own righteousness, please get that. Not yours. Yours and mine stink. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Next slide. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you know this Jesus?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Revelation of God. It's a look at those scripture passages that give us insight into the attributes of our Creator. This presentation is part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that Real Radio is made possible by the donations of our listeners? And did you know that you can be part of that? Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, we've made that real easy for you to navigate. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Then click the button that says donate. You can give a one-time gift, a monthly gift, or a yearly gift at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.